antimony and tungsten, there's a large range of industrial applications for these two metals, but the reason they're in the news is they're a war metal. They're used extensively in defense industries, and there's no production currently in the United States, for instance, of antimony. So the United States relies 100% on foreign sources of supply. The largest supplier out there historically and right through today is China. China produces about 60% of the world's antimony, and they process, and that's the big bottleneck. They process about 80% of the global antimony supply, and they have turned off the tap to the United States, leaving the US in a very sensitive situation. So there's a big push with the current administration to develop domestic supplies of these critical metals, particularly these defense-related metals.
Good day, everybody. It's me. I'm Steve Yang. I'm with Craig Lindsay, CEO of U.S. Operations with Resolution Minerals. Craig, how are you today?
Steve, I'm doing great. Good to be with you.
Likewise. Craig, for those who do not know the story well or don't know much about Resolution Minerals, if we can start by if you can give their website the ticker where you guys are trading.
Yeah, www.resolutionminerals.com is our website. We're listed on the ASX in Australia under the symbol RML, and on the OTCQB, it's RLMLF, and we're soon to be on NASDAQ under RML.
Okay, for artists, for listeners, I just want to disclose I myself am an investor, and Resolution Minerals is one of our sponsors. And Resolution Minerals, for those who don't know, Craig, I'd love to see if you can give us a breakdown of, what's happening at Horse Heaven, where it is, what you're working on, and why you're excited about it.
Sure. Well, just Resolution Minerals, we're all about antimony, we're about tungsten, and we're about gold. We've got the Horse Heaven project in the state of Idaho. We've got 100% interest in it. It's a 15,000 acre property, and it's located immediately adjacent to Perpetua Resources' Stibnite Gold Project, which is one of the largest mine developments permitted in the United States. So when you think about Resolution, I want you to think about critical metals, those being sorry, tungsten and antimony. And then I want you to think about gold. I want you to think about high grade. Steve, what's exciting about our project from an antimony perspective, you're sitting there with grades that average in high grade veins at surface 40%. So extremely high grade antimony. I want you listeners to remember that. Next door at Stibnite Gold Project, they average less than 1%. So that's a differentiating factor. Number two, we produced historically out of the an open some open trenches at what we call Antimony Ridge, produced and supported the US war effort in the First World War, the Second World War, into the Korean War. I also want you to think about high-grade tungsten. We have a past-producing tungsten mine on our property, Golden Gate Tungsten. It had a historical production grade between the 50s up to 1980, produced intermittently 1.5 to 2%. Listeners may know a company like Almonty, albeit large resource in Korea, but 0.5% grade. So our grade is good. With its past producer of tungsten, we've got anywhere from 2 to 8,000 tons of stockpiles on site of tungsten, which we plan to process. So there's a near-term production story. And then, Steve, in the background, what really gets a lot of the gold bugs going, Golden Gate, which is a target within the Horse Heaven project. It's 3 kilometers long. You got 4 gram per ton gold at the south end, 7 gram per ton gold at the north end. The drilling that we've conducted last year hit gold from surface down to the bottom of almost every hole. And these holes were up to 250 meters, like 1,000 foot holes that were running 1.5% or 1.5 grams per ton gold. So there's a great gold story. So we got everything here, Steve.
Craig, that's not very common to have all three of those. For those who don't know, what antimony and tungsten is. If you can talk a little bit about just the significance of that and why that's so important in North America, and how unusual is it to find all three of those in the same project, and what kind of edge could that give you?
Sure. Well, that's a lot of questions, and I'm not as at my age, I can't remember all of them. I'll try and get through those, Steve, but the antimony and tungsten, there's a large range of industrial applications for these two metals, but the reason they're in the news is they're a war metal. They're used extensively in defense industries, and there's no production currently in the United States, for instance, of antimony. So the United States relies 100% on foreign sources of supply. The largest supplier out there historically and right through today is China. China produces about 60% of the world's antimony, and they process, and that's the big bottleneck. They process about 80% of the global antimony supply, and they have turned off the tap to the United States, leaving the U.S. in a very sensitive situation. So there's a big push with the current administration to develop domestic supplies of these critical metals, particularly these defense-related metals. So that is what's driving interest in the critical metals story in general, and antimony and tungsten in particular. Tungsten's a steel hardener. Antimony is used in primers in bombs. So that's why they're critical from a defense perspective. And then to answer your final question around how rare is it? Well, antimony is actually fairly commonly associated with other metals, including gold. It's just not in high quantities, high grades. So you typically, it's a byproduct of some other metal production, and it's often at such a low grade, people just don't process it. So you need to have, it's very rare to have a standalone antimony mine, for instance. It's usually comes as a byproduct of another metal. Whereas in our case, we're looking at stripping out high grade stuff, these banded veins that are anywhere from kind of 5, 7, 8 inches thick to up to, we map like up to 2 feet thick. So you'd be scraping high grade veins right off of the surface as a pure antimony centric story rather than as a byproduct of another product. And then having that, I must admit, it is a little bit more rare to have the gold antimony and the tungsten kicker along with it. But you got to look at the state of Idaho, and it is a very well-endowed state from a minerals perspective. A lot of history of mining in the state of Idaho. You've got silver up in the northeast in what they call the panhandle. In the southeast, you've got large high-grade phosphate mines. You have a lot of gold projects that are being developed in the state. And then there's always been a base metal story of copper and molybdenum in the state. And more recently, this critical metals theme. Most people would not be aware of this, Steve, but right where we are, in they call it the Stibnite or the Yellow Pine Mining District. If you go back to records around the Second World War, they reference the mining district that we're in as being the area that won the war in the Second World War, simply because almost all the antimony for the military in World War II was produced right where the Stibnite gold project in Horse Heaven is. So it's a long history, very supportive of extractive industries in the states and in the state. And then when you layer on this push by the current administration out of Washington, we are in a really nice spot from a commodity perspective.
So I want to ask you about the 15,000 the massive land that you have and how that compares. You mentioned Perpetual just being near you guys. How do you compare? And do they also have gold, tungsten, antimony? Do they have similar grade? And how do you go ahead?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the reality is I refer to Horse Heaven as Stibnite 2.0. The Stibnite Gold Project is a direct geologic analog to what we've got. One of the neat things about our project is we've got a consulting geologist that spent 12 years as a geologist at the Stibnite Gold Project. So when he's looking at the rock coming out of our holes, he's like, wow, this is a lookalike to what we've got next door. So yes, Stibnite has gold. It's got antimony. They would have had historic tungsten production, but these are generally smaller potty type operate mines that are extracted. There might not be a lot left. The differentiating factor between our two stories, these are intrusion related gold systems, is that ours is underexplored and theirs is much more well advanced. We're no Perpetua yet, but we have a clear path to get there. They've got a 6 million ounce, not resource, they've got a 6 million ounce reserve of gold. They've got 140 million pounds of identified antimony. So they are, a lot more work has been done there historically, but we're in the process of catching up. And, we're in the middle of a 45,000 foot drill program. We've got two drills going at Golden Gate. The drills are going great. Everything's working very effectively. Was just out on the property last week, and I got to tell you, the drillers are doing a fantastic job. We're starting to get assays into the lab now, and we're cooking. So we are going to hit 40 to 45 holes and 45,000 feet of drilling as we plan. We're fully funded for that drilling. And I'm hoping to, show some surprises to the market from a results perspective.
So you say you're fully funded. How much do you have in the bank? And how, basically, when you say fully funded, how long does that last?
Well, we're in the middle of a this program will be about $7.5 million, and we've got a about at the quarter end, 25 million Australian in the bank. So we're funded for drilling. But as we've talked about previously, we are in the process of listing on NASDAQ. So we're uplisting our OTC to the NASDAQ. It's going to be ADRs that folks are buying. And I think as soon as that ADR is up and trading, that program on NASDAQ, it's going to open this story up to a wide range of US investors. We're going to be out knocking on a lot more doors. We're sharing our story with as many people as we can. And what's interesting, just based on my experience in the junior type market, it's rare when you see generalist type funds looking to come in and take a piece of your company in the market or through a financing. And that's because, guys, these are generalist funds that may not
No.
be deep knowledge on mining, but gosh, they want a piece of that critical metal story because it's real. It's not going away anywhere. It's a great thematic, and it's not that investable in the US market. So I think we are going to attract some good attention. That's the hope, anyways.
So the NASDAQ, if you can give us a timeline on that, and if you can tell us a little bit more about the major institutions you have behind you now, and what you hope that the if you can tell me when do you guys move over to the NASDAQ?
To be totally frank, it's happening soon. They don't, the SEC doesn't give you a definite
Okay.
timeline, but we're through questions. We're at the no comment stage. We're just waiting for that to happen. And as soon as we get the green light from the SEC, then we will do the final application for NASDAQ, and that's a fairly short process. So excited about that. Looking forward to being up on NASDAQ. We're out there pre-marketing right now, just letting people know who we are and make them aware of what we're doing. And then in terms of the investors, we've been very well funded out of Australia. We've raised 47 million Australian dollars in the past 6 to 8 months, and it's all Australian institutions and high net worth investors, groups like the John Hancock Family Office, There's some well-known Australian institutions that have been very supportive. And what's neat, the institutions that participated in our first round supported us in a second round that we did about 45 days ago. So that's a positive sign when you get investors coming in a second round. So really well supported by Australian high net worths, family offices, big retail market over there, and then some of these institutional investors that are fairly well known in the Australian market.
Craig, if you mentioned earlier about the U.S. government kind of having your back, if you are in the interest they have in seeing something like this succeed, if you can tell us a little bit more about that, and if you can tell us a little bit about just the kind of relationships that you're building in the community there.
Sure. And have to be cautious with what I say when I we've had a very good reception in Washington, D.C. so far, and our Antimony Ridge project has been listed on the as a Fast 41 transparency coverage project. And the Fast 41 program, I think it was put in place in 2015, and it's really the focus of Fast 41 is to accelerate permitting in the U.S. across a wide range of projects and industries. In the critical metals sector, the current administration is hoping to use Fast 41 to accelerate some of these critical metals stories to production as quickly as possible. Historically, permitting the timelines were open-ended in the US. Now they're being held to specific timelines. So we've got that support. That's number one. Then number two, folks will probably be aware that the Department of War has a fairly significant amount of capital that it's been putting out into the market. One in one area, critical metals. So we're in the process of introducing ourselves to folks in Washington, D.C., everything from the Idaho congressional delegation to folks within the Department of War, the Defense Industrial Base, that network, just to tell us about, tell our story to them. And we're getting good traction. And I think the interest that people see is the high grades that we've got and the relatively near-term production potential that we got.
Craig, I spoke to somebody about, what we look for in mining companies, and he said one of his non-negotiables is the leadership, the CEO, and one of the things he looks for is, do they have skin in the game? And he likes people where if this company doesn't work out, their wife is going to divorce them. They got too much invested. They got too much skin in the game. They burned their boats. If you can tell us a little bit more about just kind of how invested you are, and maybe not just you, but the people that you have working around you. And if you can also tell us a little bit more about the team that you have to ensure that you guys are set up for success.
Well, firstly, you can tell that fellow that I love my wife and I don't want her to give me a lesson in fraction. So I'm working hard on making this investment work out. I've got exposure to 45 million shares of the company that I own. It was part of the selling group that sold this asset to Resolution. That says, and I think that says a lot. But yeah, I honestly think when the guy is dead right in that you got to have a great project. Without a great project, you really have nothing. But you can have the greatest project in the world, and if you don't have a good team, you're going nowhere. And we're really fortunate in that we put together a team of local Idahoans that have a great range of experience, both with exploration, development, and permitting in the state of Idaho. We've got a guy named Bill Breen, who's probably one of the most capable geologists I've ever come across in the US, and he's been working on this project for quite a number of years. Very well known in Idaho. So very good relationship guy, very good geologist. I mentioned Austin Zinser, who's a consulting geologist to us, 12 years of experience next door at the Stibnite Gold Project, so has an encyclopedic knowledge of the rocks. We've got a guy named Eric Klepfer, who's been permitting in the Western United States for 30 years. That's a big kind dirty part of our business. It's a dirty word, is permitting. So we've got a guy who knows what he's doing there. One of the really neat things, we've got a guy named Dr. Adam Roper, who's a PhD metallurgist. He's working with us. He's our chief metallurgist, working full time on developing process flow sheets for both antimony and tungsten. And probably one of the most interesting guys we've brought on board is a guy named Dave Ombre. And Dave was the mine geologist at the old Golden Gate tungsten mine. So we brought him in, and he's just been a wealth of knowledge, understands the rock, really helped us with our tungsten exploration program this summer. So those are the guys that are going to make you money, the people that understand the business. And then from a senior leadership perspective, the folks who are on the board and the executive directors of the company, the thing I love about them, Ari Zaitz, Mendel Rogatsky, Brett Lynch, they are three of the most aggressive guys and most forward-thinking guys in terms of, let's not spend our time just doing exploration and build up a resource. The time is now. We've got to develop a clear pathway to production, and let's figure out how to take the steps to get there. And that's why we're spending so much time in Washington. That's why we've got a chief metallurgist. That's why we're out looking at mobile production equipment to start, for instance, processing some of the tungsten stockpiles that are on site. It's that kind of aggressive mind frame that gets guys like me out of my comfort zone and go, wow, okay, this is exciting. This is a real story. So we're pushing on a lot of different buttons with a lot of great people. So it's a fun time right now, and it's a great group to work with.
Craig, for those who want to follow your story, learn more about Resolutions, where do they, what's the best way, and how do they reach out to you with questions?
Well, the website again is www.resolutionminerals.com. Happy to have people reach at resolutionminerals.com, and I will respond to any of your questions. And I look forward to engaging with you.
And Craig, we'll be putting your tickers in the show notes, but if you can give that for us one more time.
RML is the symbol on the ASX in Australia, RLMLF on the OTC. RSMIY is our ADR program on the OTC, which is what will be listed on NASDAQ. And when we trade on NASDAQ, the symbol will be under RML.
For our listeners, Resolution Minerals is one of our sponsors. We're excited to work with you guys and share your story. I personally am excited. I bought, and I know some of the others have bought as well. But I myself cannot give investment advice. Please do your own due diligence. One of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Craig with your questions, to follow their ticker, to follow their story. And thanks for listening. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, team. Appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.